Hi, and you're listening to another podcast from the Cloud Evangelist website. I'm joined again by Reese Oxenham. Reese recently did the podcast with us on Rev, and I've asked him back to talk about some of the work that we've been doing together on cloud. Reese.
Thanks for having me back, Richard. Really appreciate the opportunity. So, as you mentioned, we're going to be talking today about some of the work that Red Hat has been doing around cloud and, you know, how customers are going to get to cloud, how Red Hat can help these customers achieve their cloud goals, and some of the tools that we're putting in place to enable that to happen.
Okay, so we've been doing a lot of engineering work more recently with what I would call our managed service provider customers, our ISP type customers, our telcos who have ambitions of moving to the public cloud space. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. We're going to be talking about CloudForms. We're going to be maybe talking about OpenShift and some of the cool stuff that we're doing. So let's start off with CloudForms. CloudForms was released in April. It's generated quite a lot of buzz. Do you want to talk about what CloudForms is?
Sure, absolutely. So CloudForms is our hybrid cloud management platform. Now, what I mean by this is it's targeted as a product which customers can deploy in their internal infrastructure to manage multiple different types of cloud environment, regardless of whether they have an existing private cloud, whether it's based on Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization, VMware, etc. And maybe they want to take the next step out to utilizing a public cloud infrastructure, such as Amazon EC2. Mm-hmm. So we give the customer a same front end, a similar front end, so they don't necessarily have to be aware of how Rev works or how VMware works, or indeed how Amazon, you know, what the differences are between the two. You get a single pane of glass view of all of your various different instances and where they're running.
So it's adding a lot of maturity to the whole cloud model.
It is, absolutely, yeah.
And the and really the whole end-to-end lifecycle ecosystem piece as well.
Precisely.
Okay.
Now, the key technology that sits underneath CloudForms is Delta Cloud.
And, and Delta Cloud was the technology what we put back into incubator.apache.org, what, two and a half years ago?
Yeah, it's been in there quite a while.
Right.
Now, what Delta Cloud allows us to do is really abstract some of the core understandings and the key technologies of the underlying cloud platforms sitting in Amazon or your internal cloud and give you that single way in to your, you know, the running of your instances across your entire estate, regardless whether they're sitting internally or externally. Now, this is, as I say, embedded internally to the CloudForms product, and we utilize it quite heavily.
Okay, so CloudForms as is came from Aeolus project?
That's correct, yeah. So as is true with most or all of Red Hat's products, they come from open source projects that are out there in the community. So Aeolus is the upstream version of the Cloud Engine or Cloud Conductor component. Now, the Cloud Conductor is really where you have your single way into your infrastructure. So looking at where your instances are running, but as well as taking that a little bit further back and defining what your images are to look like, you know, what the application definitions look like. For example, you might want to have a two-node database cluster with a web front end.
Right.
You define that within CloudForms in a very sort of well-defined workflow. Mm-hmm. And then you can then deploy that into a catalog. Now, as you know, with all type of cloud platforms, one of the key requirements of having a cloud is to have some form of self-service. Now, with a self-service, you need to be presented with a catalog to choose from. Now, once the applications have been approved to be in a catalog, the self-service users can come in, log in, choose from that catalog, and deploy in a cloud that they are allowed to use. Now, this is regardless whether that cloud is in, like I said, private or public space. That is, to a certain extent, abstracted away from the user.
Okay. So as we've decided with CloudForms and with OpenShift to allow a lot of that abstraction back into the hands of developers so they don't have to think about the change control mentality or permission to try and stand up those instances or to run to AWS with a credit card, So if I'm a developer and I want to start moving my applications to cloud, it gives me the ability and flexibility to be able to do that across multiple hypervisor types. So it's almost like a write it once, deploy it once.
Yeah, precisely. So CloudForms really is the sort of infrastructure as a service type model. So that's the product that we're targeting.
It's just
for that
redefining the whole IIS model.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, but when you mention OpenShift, that's more of a platform as a service type environment.
But it's demonstrating yet more thought leadership around the whole cloud piece. It's how you consume it and how you
get
there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we've been, as I said at the intro, we've been working very much with our certified cloud provider program. We did a podcast earlier in this series with Bernie Frankel, which is worth downloading and worth listening to. And Reese has been doing a lot of the grunt work, transforming directions on paper and dreams and aspirations of our service provider partners into becoming those public cloud providers and standing up those first instances and iterations of cloud. Tell us some of the work that you've been doing there.
Sure. So it's interesting to have the opportunity to discuss various different customers' cloud views, visions, and requirements. Because I think that the term cloud gets thrown around quite a lot. And, you know, not every customer's view of or definition of the cloud is exactly the same. So when we look at cloud providers, I think a lot of customers want to go quick to market with a particular solution.
Right.
They know what they want to achieve, but they also don't necessarily know how they're going to achieve it. And what tools and utilities are they going to use, maybe from the market, you know, tools that exist already, or whether they have to develop their own. So really, as a solution architect in this field, it's my responsibility for identifying the maturity of these customers.
Right.
Identifying what they have already, what they want to achieve, and whether Red Hat can assist them in ways of, you know, helping them get involved with existing projects that Red Hat have or products that Red Hat have, or whether we need to help them along with their existing tools and help integrate them to.
But what about very often these guys, these companies have existing staff and talent on board. Do we also help with getting those guys skilled up to be able to support their own architecture?
Yeah, absolutely. We have various different sort of training courses that help customers understand what it is to have a cloud architecture. And some of the tools that we have, we also run training courses on how to use those and how to, you know, make the most of those tools to get your architecture up and running as soon as possible.
And also, I think it's important if we sort of stress that, you know, complementing the satellite type technology we'd normally have in an enterprise architecture, that we've been developing that carrier class RUI Red Hat Update infrastructure appliances directly for enabling service providers to be able to do that sort of stuff securely on the fly and for the cloud community right now, today.
Yeah, I think it's very important to understand that the whole cloud computing model is a complete paradigm shift. And we have to look at the differences between, you know, traditional ways of managing enterprise systems life cycles, patch schedules, etc. And how that is going to look in the new arena, you know, what it's going to look like in a cloud platform, because it really is completely different. Instances won't necessarily be running for just as long. There's going to be instances started and stopped, and, you know, it's very difficult to manage in that sort of
it is
space.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I keep, whenever I go and talk about cloud, wherever anyone will have me to talk about cloud, whenever I'm whoring cloud out there, I keep coming up with this old Kevin Costner film, Field of Dreams. You know, if you build it they will come. And there's so many cloud providers out there who've stood up what they call a cloud, which essentially is a managed firewall, some virtualized instance, and a back-end shared storage environment. And that's not cloud. That's just ESX with some wizards around it. I think what we're trying to do is enable cloud so that those enterprise customers who are already managing their Red Hat subscriptions can lift and shift those to our certified cloud provider partners, but also the flexibility to avoid the vendor lock-in so that you can move it across territories depending on your privacy regulations and your governance. And, you know, it's changing the whole attitude of where Red Hat come from, you know, the whole perceived piece that we're an OS player and that, you know, it's just purely about Linux, and it's not. It's about enablement and ambition.
Yeah, precisely. One of the core concepts of CloudForms really is to avoid that vendor lock-in, which you mentioned.
Yeah,
you know, any company can go out there and pick a product off the shelf that will give them a cloud, but what we want to try and do is take that to the next level, enabling choice, allowing customers to deploy on a new cloud provider that might come out, or deciding what makes sense to them. Yeah. We don't want them to be locked into a particular platform because at the time in which they decided to go down the cloud route, that was the right one for them. But yeah. longer yeah. term, I think it's proved in the marketplace, lock-in can be very dangerous and very costly.
And also enabling a lot of these providers as well to have the self-service capability for customers to be able to go away and manage their own credibility and their own instances in cloud, which I think really is the next step. You know, if you look back in the day with when people started really using Linux for hosting, you had everyone using cPanel or PHP MyAdmin or Webmin, and we're going to move into the same technology where we're still going to be holding hands with people, not necessarily moving away from the whole governance, risk and control thing that customers have to understand is part and parcel of cloud ownership as they move to open hybrid cloud, but making things easier to consume and easier to audit and easier to migrate. And the whole CloudForms piece is just absolutely perfectly positioned to help do that. And I think also it brings a lot of maturity potentially to the OpenStack model as those guys go through their next instance, and all the maturity that Brian Stevens' team and Mark are putting into the whole OpenStack piece. We talked about that in a previous podcast. So, you know, the things that you've been working on with regards to CloudForms, you've just been through the training. Did you find it helpful? Or
I did, absolutely. It's good to get really sort of hands-on in a classroom environment as well, because, you know, you're there with some of the engineers, some of the guys who write this stuff, and you can really understand how and why we're doing various different things.
And I think that's one of the benefits with the whole Red Hat University, Red Hat training stuff. Very often you're dealing with the guys who are making their own dog food. So, you know, with regards to moving towards cloud, we have courses and certifications available for customers who've already got RHCs and RHCSAs on board to be able to make that leap of faith towards yep. getting to cloud. We also have some cookbooks and some architecture reference guides.
Yeah, we have the reference architecture guides, which go through exactly what it is or what Red Hat's definition of a cloud is and what we recommend, and you know, provide some guidance around establishing a cloud-like environment.
I think the first week I worked at Red Hat, I read the first 163-page iteration of the Intel cookbook to cloud.
Yeah.
And the guy who wrote it was quite shocked that someone had actually read it. Okay, so as we start to move into cloud, we've mentioned Delta Cloud, we've mentioned CloudForms, we've looked at OpenShift in previous podcasts. The certification that we have with our providers such as HP, IBM, Intel, and Dell allow us to get that extra credibility as well in the cloud space. I think now as we start towards moving towards being able to utilize Rev that we talked about in the previous podcast with all the benchmarks and the scalability, et cetera, it really does define where Red Hat's going with regards to being a player in cloud. It's almost enabling us to build the next house of Red Hat, not just being an enterprise OS Linux player, but also saying, hey, we've got Gluster, we've got Kubernetes with KVM, with the acquisition of Macara and OpenShift. It enables us really now to start thinking about where Red Hat's going in this whole new cloud environment. Reese, I really enjoyed talking to you about cloud, and thanks very much for taking the time to talk
Always
to me.
Always a pleasure. Today. Thank you, Richard.
Cheers. Thanks.